Hi, and welcome back to this week's podcast episode of Web3 Compass. If you might have wondered how I look like, you can now check it out on YouTube under the same named YouTube channel Web3 Compass. This week's podcast episode will also be recorded in a video format, and I'm excited about it. Today I'm going to speak about 11 things I'm critical about Web3. In my opinion, the media coverage of Web3 is like a pendulum. In 2021, everything was hyped, everything was glorious, and Web3 was the thing which might could replace the internet. And now, especially after the FTX disaster, everything is doomed. But I believe that in life, nearly everything is neither black or white. It more has tones of gray. And I know it might be a bad comparison, but I think you get the point. And my channel is named Web3 Compass because I want to be a compass in this development and to see through the hype, but also to see through the doom, and together with you as a community to see all the good use cases which are coming. So let's talk about the 11 things I'm critical about. The first one is hype. I'm also affected by hype, but these extreme emotions, such as greed and fear of missing out, they blur the reality and make oneself irrational. I think this was the case with the 2017 ICO bubble, but also with the 2021 NFT hype, because people were so afraid of not getting a part of the cake that they just, they just aped in and were not very factual. And this is the problem, because I think 99.9% of NFT projects are not solid. But I think there are some cases which could work or which are just art, and there could be a good use case for NFTs. And of course, NFTs are technology. It is not only related to art, but also in the art space. I think there can be good projects, but you have to take the hype out. You have to have like a very factual perspective, and then you might see them. The second point I'm very critical about is the negative occupation of FUD. What means FUD? FUD means fear, uncertainty, and doubt in the crypto space. And from my personal experience, I can just say everything when developers or entrepreneurs or whoever said, oh, this is only FUD, people want to destroy the project, people want to short the project or whatever. The FUD, in my opinion, or not in my opinion, the FUD in these projects was always necessary because these projects were not solid. The developers, for example, they under-delivered. And I think like in an ideal case, if you would be the developer or the entrepreneur and somebody has critique about your project, you could do a Q&A session and you can defend your point of view, for example. But of course, if you're doing like a Ponzi scheme, you cannot defend your point of view because you know you're doing a Ponzi scheme and you know you're doing a rug pull. And then your argument is, oh, this is just FUD. They want to destroy my project. So I think there must be a better relationship to critic in Web3. The third point is all these, all these promises made, but all these people under-delivering. So a lot of promises have been made, but very few promises have been kept. And I think in this space, it's easy to make promises because there's nobody who holds you accountable. And a lot of people, and I'm not speaking about those who are criminals, I'm talking about those people who might have had a good intention, who cashed in maybe millions, even millions, or let's talk about tens of thousands of dollars, and then they did nothing about the project. I think that's just not okay. Of course, they are under-delivering, but they have no formal company. And there's nobody, as I said, who holds them accountable. A lot of hot air. And in the real world, for example, if you want to be like a public traded company, you do an initial public offering and you do a prospectus. Oftentimes, you also do it together with an investment bank and it costs a lot of money. But in the end, I believe it's good for investors, and it is especially good for retail investors. because it protects them. Of course, it is not as inclusive as, for example, an ICO because of the high costs and also the high, how do you say it, maintaining costs, because it's not done by just paying the investment bank to be listed. You also have to apply to a lot of regulations. You have to have an investors relations side and stuff. You have to publish reports and all this stuff. But I think in the end, it's a good thing because it protects retail investors. The next thing I'm critical about is the missing regulation. And I was also speaking about it when I said nobody is there who holds you accountable. I think with the regulation, a lot of things are going on. A lot of things are in the right process. There are great initiatives. I know there are great initiatives in Germany. There is the, I think it's called International Token Standardization Association, which I think is great and which will also give a little bit more clarity. But there are still too many unclear areas. Ripple, for example. Are they now a security or are they a commodity? If there are gray areas, if there is missing regulation, that's the next point, shady people are attracted. They are attracted by the missing regulation. And then the result are rug pulls, criminal activities, and all these people who promise you to get rich quickly. And the next point, which I see very critical, is the negative attitude towards the state. This might be a quite political point. And of course, some states are dysfunctional and corrupt. But I have to speak now from my perspective. I live in Germany and I believe, or I know, the people are the state. We elect politicians who represent our interests. And it is the obligation, in my opinion, of the people to fix a broken system. We have currently a lot of things which, in my opinion, are not right. I think it is not right that states can print just more and more money, saving, for example, zombie companies by these initiatives. And sometimes they have too little regulation in the crypto space. Sometimes they have, or in the also in the financial space, looking at the 2008 financial crisis, there was too little regulation. In other areas, there is just too much regulation. And if you want to start a company, it's a pain because how, as a single person, would you be able to have all this information without paying a lot of intermediaries? And I think a lot of things are too complex. There are, for example, too high taxes, also in my opinion, which make, for example, the performance principle not attractive enough. We have a pension system which can be seen more or less like a Ponzi because people will always get children, at least the pension system here in Germany. But, and I have to say it, I still believe that these problems can be fixed. And I think that the funding of a new state, comparable, for example, to the funding of the USA, it can be a solution. But I just do not think it's the right solution. And I think a society is also measured how they deal with the weakest ones. And if you see all these people talking about the network state, and even though I think the concept is very, very interesting, if you have these countries, who would live in it? Let's just imagine everyone with a lot of money, with a very good education, goes into these countries. What would happen to the rest of the people? And would it be fair? And yeah, it's a political topic, but I have a problem that people have such a negative attitude towards the state and saying everything is bad and in general, we do not need states. We want to have maybe offshore states. I don't believe in it. And I think a state can also only function if the ones who are the strongest also take their share of responsibility in the state. And the next point I'm critical about is when there's no suitable use case. Blockchain or distributed ledger technologies are a technology. And I believe there are very good use cases for this technology. But a blockchain is just not the answer for everything. Also, peer-to-peer networks do not solve every problem. It can enable trustless actions. It can reduce the cost of verification. And also it can replace intermediaries and be a solution for the last mile problem. But remember the blockchain trilemma: scalability, security, and decentralization. a blockchain has this trilemma. You can't have all these three things. And there are some existing solutions which are centralized for profit companies, which are just offering better solutions. For example, talking about cloud computing. A blockchain in a lot of cases is just inefficient. Sometimes it is necessary if you want to have a trustless system. Or other new concepts, for example, a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization. Let's say you are 30 people and you start a DAO and you have certain rules. You could do it like that, but you could also just make like an official club or like a small non-profit company. Of course, it's fancy to have a DAO, and it's also fancy to have a lot of rules on smart contracts. But if you have like a club and you have like a good, how do you say it, constitution or however you say it in English, and if it's very solid, it's basically very similar. Of course, there are good use cases also for DAOs, but the problem I have is that oftentimes there are people looking for use cases for blockchain technology, and there are already better existing options. The next point I want to criticize is the negative side of decentralization. And it's also a political topic. You have to debate how much free speech should be allowed. And on the one hand, there's free speech. On the other hand, there's illegal content or also dangerous content, gory content, whatever content. And the internet has the same problem, you know, with all the platforms, and Facebook is constantly being critiqued for example, fake information. On the other hand, there are now also news about some corporations such as Twitter to lock information away, and it's not really free speech anymore, or that's what a lot of people are proclaiming. And it's a very critical situation also with the whole Corona, COVID-19 topic. Yeah, it's very political, and I don't have a good solution. But I think if you have like a very decentralized system and you have illegal content on the blockchain, how do you handle it? And also these are things you have to think about. because I think oftentimes a certain amount of centralization is important. And yeah, I have no good solution for this topic, but I have a problem when, for example, illegal content is on the blockchain. The next point I'm very critical about is DeFi gaming. Here I also would say 99% or even more of the projects, they have no suitable business model. They are also just a Ponzi scheme. The games have a bad quality and people are only playing it to make money. I think it's also a perversion if you have an online game with no purpose than, let's say, joy or happiness, when you have people, for example, in countries like the Philippines playing for you for money. It was the case, for example, for Axie Infinity. There were like the scholarships. They were renting out their in-game items, and I think it was just not right. I'm currently editing the podcast, and I want to add some clarifying comments because I think not everybody might know what's Axie Infinity or how it worked. So Axie Infinity was also, or maybe is probably still, the biggest decentralized game, and you had the possibility to get rewarded with some sort of in-game token, which you could, for example, then swap for, let's say, other cryptocurrencies. And in the game, you had your axes, which can be seen as like in-game animals or something like that. And now you could rent these axes out in so-called scholarships to other people who then play for you the game. And then you earn the in-game token. So you basically play the game to make money. And now the case was that, for example, a lot of people in Western countries were renting out their axes to people from the Philippines. And of course, if I would live in the Philippines, this would be an opportunity. But I have a problem that, Like, it's an online video game, and the purpose, in my opinion, of the online video game is entertainment and not making money. And of course, maybe you can make money with entertainment, but now you are have people playing the whole day to earn money for you, and no value is created. And this is all I want to say. I think if you're living in the Philippines, it would be a great, or it could be a good way to sustain your family. But when you reflect that all this is like a giant Ponzi model, because there is no solid business case, in my opinion, behind the game, because I think it's no game which brings you a lot of entertainment. It is more like a game which is based on pure speculation. I think this is just not right. I hope you understood me correctly. If not, please shoot me a DM on the Web3 Compass Discord channel. Yeah, it's hard to put my thoughts into words, but I think gaming is often a thing which creates happiness. Maybe if you create, for example, in the sandbox or in other games, also new in-game games. For example, you play Minecraft and you have a Minecraft server which has a specific concept, and you create a new form of entertainment. I think, okay, it's you're creating basically a game inside a game. And here I think it's very fair to earn money. But if you're just playing the game and you're playing it for money, and it all everything is based on a Ponzi, yeah, I just see it very critical. The next point I want to criticize is the boring metaverse experience. I think the metaverse often is just not interesting enough. There's no excitement, no cool in-game activities. Also, the graphic is very bad. I think the metaverse is coming, and especially with virtual reality and augmented reality, I see a lot of very cool use cases. But when I run around in Decentraland or in the sandbox, it's just not for me. And maybe not talking about the sandbox, but talking about Decentraland, I think a lot of people have the same opinion, because there are not really a lot of players. And the last point I want to criticize is that a lot of technologies for Web3, so they are built for Web3 with technologies from Web3, for example, built on Ethereum, they have no value behind the crypto ecosystem. So their use case is to be inside this ecosystem. What do I mean by that? For example, looking at smart contracts, a lot of applications are only providing value for the ecosystem, so for the crypto ecosystem. And let's take the smart contracts, and let's take, for example, decentralized finance insurance. If you look at some of the biggest protocols according to total value locked, they often offer services such as smart insurance for smart contract risk and other things, but they do not provide, for example, an insurance for your car or stuff like that. And I think this is a problem, because you have this ecosystem and people are developing in this ecosystem for this ecosystem, but where's the value going outside, you know what I mean? Where's the value for the real use cases? And money is pumped in into this ecosystem. And it's also like a network of organizations where they provide services for one another. But what is missing is that they provide value for the real life. And with real life, I mean just like the daily life. And what I'm basically trying to say is that I feel like Web3 and the reality need to be stronger connected. For example, if you have the internet and the offline world, and you take, for example, you had e-commerce versus brick and mortar stores, or you had emails and other online messengers versus letters, for example. You had Netflix and all the streaming companies versus physical DVDs. And I mean, you get the point. You had the internet, which was revolutionizing the offline world, which was providing new business models to the offline world. And I think Web3 also needs to provide new business models to the offline world, not only to the to the Web 3. Let's compare maybe also Web 2 to Web 3, where, for example, Spotify versus Audius. And Audius is, you could say, it's like a Web 3 streaming platform. You have Minecraft versus Decentraland and The Sandbox. For example, cloud storage versus IPFS. And in these cases, I think it is often very hard to compete, maybe taking out IPFS. But if you have games like also like GTA, and then you have The Sandbox, yeah, at the actual state, or at the current state, yeah, at the current moment, it's very hard to compete. But there are also things where I think it is very good possible to compete. Let's take, for example, the current finance infrastructure with SWIFT, and then let's compare it to Ripple or JP Morgan Onyx, I think it's pronounced in English. I think there's very good possible to compete. And now let's compare in a last comparison, the physical world versus Web 2 with blockchain technology, so Web 3. For example, we had art galleries, and now we have OpenSea, and OpenSea could replace intermediaries. And I think there were not too much possibilities to sell digital art before. And the next comparison, which I wrote here down, and a lot of people might not like it, but let's compare gold to Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a non-productive asset in probably 99.999% of the cases. Of course, there are colored coins and stuff, but it is not producing anything. Can be seen as digital gold. I also don't think it's a peer-to-peer electronic cash system, because people are not using it as cash. It can be used as cash. Could also pay with gold, but I think neither gold is like a cash. Gold is a store of value, and Bitcoin is a digital store of value. It's a form of digital gold. Let's take, for example, passports. You have it in the physical world. In the Web 2, you don't have passports at the moment. Maybe some nations have now also the digital passport, but you could build it with a blockchain technology, because then it is trustless. Let's take contracts. Physical contracts which cannot do anything. Let's take Web 2. Let's maybe take it also on the blockchain. Let's take Web 3. Then you have smart contracts, which I think are also very important. But, and I also have to say it, I think they are not only here for, as I said it before, to provide another form of safe existence for the crypto ecosystem. They should also provide value to the physical world, or however you want to call it. One thing which I think is a very good use case are luxury assets. And then you have the asset tokenization, or private equity, and you have the tokenization of private equity. And these are the things I'm very interested about. So in the end, as a conclusion, how to define Web3 is a question of definition. For me, Web3 also has, of course, cryptocurrencies and blockchain or distributed ledger technology in it. But those things are a part of Web3, but it's a much larger concept. For me, Web3 marks a new era. At the web, where existing technology still plays their role, of course, you have all these cloud infrastructure, but it gets enhanced by distributed ledger technology. For example, let's say you have now also contracts in, I don't know, Adobe Sign or DocuSign or whatever. And now those contracts are maybe becoming smart contracts in the future. And also the metaverse. You have GTA or you have The Sims. And those games in the future are maybe becoming part of the metaverse. You have digital education. And digital education is going to be enhanced by virtual reality, by augmented reality. I think this is very interesting. You might also have finance, you have traditional finance, and now you are building finance, decentralized finance protocols, which you could then also in the future maybe use with a central bank digital currency. And it's built on the Ethereum blockchain. And I think this is extremely interesting. And generative AI and all what's to come, I think those technologies also play a role in the future of Web3. So this were my 11 things I'm critical about Web3. I think there are use cases, but you have to be careful. I think also Web3 does not replace the current internet. I think it will become a part of the internet and maybe also a major part of it. So yeah, let's look together into the future with a more factual view. And I'm very happy to hear your opinion on this podcast episode. We have a Web3 Discord channel. I would be happy if you join. Until then, have a great day. Cheers.